Good evening, friends. This is our Monday Holy Week service, and I am Peter Buitendag. Our call to worship is from Psalm 71. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation, all day long. Come, let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Rock and our Redeemer. We are in Holy Week. The storm clouds are gathering in Jerusalem. Jesus was branded an outlaw with a price on his head, and yet Jesus came. It was not that he was prepared to take on the might of the Jewish council, but that he was committed to doing God's will. Nothing would stop him, although he knew full well what was waiting for him. The crowds who came to the Passover celebrations were so large that they could not all be accommodated in Jerusalem. Bethany was one of the places outside the city boundaries which the law laid down as a place for the overflow of the pilgrims to stay. When Jesus and his disciples arrived, a meal was prepared for him by Martha in her home. While the men were reclining at the table, Mary, Martha's sister, came with a very expensive perfume. It was not like today where you have a very fancy bottle at a very fancy price with only 50 milliliters of perfume. Mary had half a liter. She did not sprinkle a bit here and a bit there. She broke the container and poured all of it on the feet of Jesus. Then she wiped his feet with her hair. There are a whole lot of little character sketches in our reading that we will be looking at. And there is Martha. She loved Jesus as well. But she was a practical person. The only way she knew how to show her love was to prepare a meal. Martha gave what she could. It is just as possible to serve Jesus in the kitchen as on the public platform or in a career lived in the eyes of men. There is Mary. She was the one who loved Jesus above all else, and in her actions we see three things about love. We see love's extravagance. Mary took her most precious possession and spent it all on Jesus. Love is not love if it nicely calculates the cost. It gives its all, and its only regret is that it has not more to give. You might have heard the story that's called the gift of the Magi before, but it is worth listening to again. A young couple, Della and Jim, were very poor, but very, very much in love. Each one had a unique possession. Della's hair was her glory. When she let it down, it was almost like a robe. Jim had a gold watch which he inherited from his father, and which was his pride. It was the day before Christmas, and Della had only $1.60 with which to buy Jim a present. She went and sold her hair for $20 and bought Jim a gold chain for his watch. When Jim came home that night and saw Della's short hair, he was shocked. It was not that he did not like it or loved her any less, for she was lovelier than ever. Slowly he handed her his gift. Two beautiful tortoise-shell combs for her hair. He had sold his watch to buy them. Each had given the other all there was to give. Real love cannot think of any other way to give. We see the humility of love. It was a sign of honor to anoint a person's head. In Psalm 23 we read, "Thou anointest my head with oil." But Mary would not look so high as the head of Jesus. She anointed his feet. We see love's unself-consciousness. Mary wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. In Palestine at the time, no respectable woman would ever appear in public with her long hair flowing. That was a sign of an immoral woman. Mary never thought about it. We know that when two people really love each other, they live in a world of their own. But there is also something else about love here. John has the sentence, "The house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment." Many fathers of the church, as well as scholars, believe that they see a double meaning here. They have taken it to mean that the whole church was filled with the sweet memory of Mary's actions. A lovely deed becomes the possession of the whole world and adds to the beauty of life in general. Then there is Judas. We see three things about Judas. We see how Jesus trusted him. Already in John 6, verse 70, John shows us that Jesus was well aware of a traitor in the ranks. Perhaps Jesus tried to appeal to his sense of honor. In effect, Jesus was saying, "Judas, here is something that you can do for me. Here is proof that I need you and want you." But the appeal did not work. We see the laws of temptation. Jesus would not have given Judas the task of treasurer if he did not have some capability in that direction. If a person has a particular gift, his temptation may be to become conceited about that gift. Judas had a gift for handling money and became so fond of it that he became first a thief and then a traitor for its sake. We see how a person's view can become warped. Judas had just witnessed an action of tremendous loveliness, and he called it extravagant waste. He was an embittered man, and he took an embittered view of things. Lastly, there is one great truth about life. Some things we can do almost any time, but some things we will never do unless we grasp the opportunity when it comes. Life is an uncertain thing. We think to say some word of thanks or praise or love, but we put it off. And often the word is never mentioned, the compliment never given. There is a time for saying and doing things, and when it is past, they may never be said and never be done. Do it now. Do it now. You are home. Tell your family that you love them. Show them. Amen. Come, let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise and worship you this evening. We acknowledge that you are the only God, the God who has no beginning and no end. You've always been. Our minds are too small to comprehend you. We do not have sufficient words to praise your name. But we lift up your name. We lift up our hands and we worship you. All good gifts which we have comes from you, and we want to thank you for them. But most of all, we want to thank you for the gift of Jesus. As we are celebrating Easter, we think of the tremendous sacrifice that you have done for us, that you have sent your one and only Son, and that Jesus was obedient to your command and died in our place, that we can become your children as we are today. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for all the blessings which we receive from your hand. And they are many. We thank you for the food that we have to eat. We thank you for the homes that in which we stay. We thank you for life itself. Yes, it has challenges from time to time, but you are the Almighty. You are in control. You have the whole world in the palm of your hand. And we thank you and praise your wonderful name. We thank you for our families, Lord, our husbands, our wives, our children, our grandchildren, our parents and grandparents. We thank you for this family at Florida of which we are a part. And we want to pray for this family and all those in need of a touch from you. You know them better than what we do, Lord. You know their needs. You know their aches and pains. You know their loneliness, especially in this time of isolation that we are experiencing. So we ask that you would wrap them in your arms of love, that they will not forget that you, the Almighty God, loves them. We pray for our church, pray for our minister, and we also pray for the ministers of this circuit, for our bishop and the presiding bishop. We pray for the leadership of our country, for our president, and for all those in positions of power. Lord, that at this time they will seek to serve and not to be served. We pray for the whole world. You know what is happening, but we acknowledge that you are in control. We believe that you are the Almighty, that nothing is impossible for you, and that you will work a miracle for the world to see when this virus is conquered and no more. So, our Lord, we just want to praise your name again and lift it up high and express our thanks and our worship to you, the one and only Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.